welcome to Football Twaddle. The name makes sense now because football is back. My name is Saru and I have managed to catch a friend of mine who's actually seen some football over the weekend. Jayant, say hi.
Hi guys, how are you? Football is back. Football is back. So happy.
Dude, yes, it's finally a relief. So Jayant has come on our show few times before. We used to call him the analyst, but he really has no analysis. He's just a state of happy mind right now that football is back. So Jayant, let's start off with this. The Bundesliga is back. You seem quite excited. You are happy about it. I am happy about it. A lot of people in the world are happy about it. So why is Twitter sad about it?
I think Twitter is sad about it because of the quality of football that was perceived to be played. They were talking about it being like a preseason friendly, and you know there wasn't enough aggression on the ball and stuff like that. But you know, I think it's just people need to be happy. People need to celebrate. This is the big thing. You know, football coming back to around like to be broadcast on television, to be watched by millions of people. Yeah, I think it's just something that needs to be celebrated, and gradually the tempo will pick up. You got to see your Haaland and Lewandowski's
of the quality of football to be at the preseason level. Most of the teams seem to be on the ball. Like the first game I saw was obviously Dortmund Schalke, which I'm assuming you and you saw it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty impressed by the quality of football Dortmund was playing. You know, the 1-2s, the intricate passing. You know, the third goal from Rafael Guerrero, fantastic play. Yeah, I mean, I was quite impressed with the level of football. So there will always be doubters. There will always be, you know, people saying that the medical concerns will be debated. But I think it's important that in a country like Germany, at least where the curve was sharply declining, that the medical experts could be sort of moved to other functions. And they weren't taking away anything from the essential stuff that the healthcare workers were doing. So I think in Germany it was a good time to start football. I'm not sure. I mean about the other countries when they will be able to start.
I think Germany gives a roadmap to other countries. If they pull this off successfully, let's say for a week or 2 weeks, like matches is one thing. Let's say they don't get any positive case for a week and they pull off next week's matches, that fills Europe with confidence. Like the Danish league is supposed to start on May 29th. And other leagues are also, England is looking at starting, which we'll get to in some time. Mm-hmm. And the concerns people have regarding that. But a few things I found odd is this, and I don't know the answer to it. Probably it's just that they had to show that they were taking precautions. The team plays on the field. They're like beating up each other. There have been some yellow cards and everything. But the substitutes, right? They are sitting at big distances from each other. And why? And why can't they just celebrate by high-fiving each other? Those weird Dortmund celebrations. I mean, Haaland, as much as he is such a good player and he'll probably turn out to be the biggest superstar in world football in a few years, he just doesn't have a face which is suitable for a solo celebration with a mechanical dance. Well, what was that about, man?
So, I mean, those are guidelines which I guess players have to follow about, you know, not hugging each other or not celebrating like that when they score. But, I mean, I know what you're trying to say, that, you know, when you're going in for a tackle, there is skin-to-skin contact or whatever. You know, even, I mean, you can argue that when you're going in for a tackle, it's you're still wearing a boot. It's not skin-to-skin. There is a level of, you know, clothing or whatever in between. So, I mean, there are things that you can argue. There are, again, things that, you know, probably you'll get used to when you see it more often. I think there was one substitute, I think, when Sancho came on for Hazard, when they actually high-fived each other and everyone was like, oh, that should have happened. But yeah, the substitutes, again, it's a measure which was really weird that they had to show to the public
that, you know, we care, we are doing something about it, we are trying to reduce the contact as much. But man, Thorgan Hazard is so thin compared to his brother Eden. Did you notice it?
Well, he's also like much younger, so I guess in a league like Germany, you don't really need to have all that physical strength. I mean, I don't remember how muscular Eden Hazard was when he joined Chelsea. He must have been very muscular himself. But yeah, I think these are just things that we will get used to. These that the German league will also, like, you know, they might have learned some mistakes. They might rectify them in the weeks to come. So, you know, it's just really interesting to see how we go from here.
Yeah, and people are desperate for football. Sky England had the highest viewer numbers, right? But I saw a very weird headline from John Cross tweeted this, right? Mm-hmm. But it, like, Sky Sports had a huge number. I think for BT Sports, their number was decent, because people watching games on BT Sport is much lesser. So their numbers were decent, but they put the headline in such a way that people are not enthused about football. Big flop Bundesliga doesn't attract many viewers and things like that. So that was just so weird. But okay, let's start with this. Did you read about Steve McManaman and his commentary?
Was that Steve McManaman on our networks also? No, that was someone else, right? It was some American dude.
Yeah, ours was much better commentary. So, Steve McManaman, okay. 15 minutes into the Dortmund-Schalke game, he is going on about how Dortmund lack fluidity, forgetting clearly that they have not played for like 7 weeks. They're coming back. And one more piece of commentary was that, you know, he said some other team, I think for Dortmund or for Bayern, they've been in good form off late. And what is off late? Like, when?
No, I don't think form, you can quantify form at the moment for any team. There's no form. It's like, it's the first game of a season. You have to treat it like that. First game of preseason, not just the season.
Yeah, probably that's why BT Sport had lower numbers than they anticipated, because they had Steve McManaman. So, a person on Twitter, Grace Robertson, says, BT Sport's thinking, we need someone who really knows the Bundesliga here. How about Steve McManaman? Oh yeah, so Steve McManaman is another piece gem in commentary. Dortmund are in decent form.
No, super.
Dude, why like, why do they even, what are these guys thinking? Don't they get it? Well, like, I think one of the pundits were moaning about VAR already. Even Paddy Power had to tweet, people are moaning about VAR already. Oh, thank God football is back.
Yeah, you know, so there was this article on The Guardian which said that, you know, there might be less of a home advantage because referees will be more likely to give decisions against home teams because they won't have a crowd to, like, you know, get angry if they give a tough decision against the home team.
Hmm.
I'm like, yeah, it's 1 week of a match, can you say? It is,
but let's look at what happened this week then. You want to know how many away victories were there?
Yeah, it's very small data, yeah. Us as data people, we know this, that, like, it's too small a sample set to compare from.
Gents, there's nothing called small data. Let me tell you, yesterday the US market was up 3% based on the testing data of some vaccine for COVID on 8 people. So.
Oh, I love that.
So, what are you going on about small data? why are we the only guys thinking about small data? If the bloody entire US stock market rose by 3%, you shouldn't cream about small data. So, let's just talk about all the away wins or home wins. Actually, let me count the home wins we have. We have one home win. That's it. Of the 9 games played, there was only one home win, man. Which was Borussia Dortmund.
Well, that's because Bayern played away from home. So, Bayern played it. Depends on who's playing at home also, right? Like, if Bayern played at home, there would be 2 home wins.
Yeah, but that would be 2 home wins then. All right. So, let's talk about the game. How impressed are you with this Haaland kid, apart from his interviewing skills?
I love him. It's hard to believe he's so young because he seems extremely confident, seems extremely professional. He's always there at the right time. It's cliches, but he just makes finishing look so easy. But I think he, in the next generation, it's Haaland, Mbappe, and, you know, probably just those two. I mean, the next Ballon d'Ors are winners are just going to be these two kids.
Let me put you on the spot. Haaland or Mbappe?
I think Haaland, actually.
You have to just pick who you like more. That's all. No one's asking for any explanation.
I mean, Mbappe's got that explosion of pace. So does Haaland.
You see that run of Haaland in the Champions League game against PSG.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think Haaland may have a little bit more of an all-round game to him. That's what I feel. I mean, he's done it with lesser teams also. He's taken like lesser teams to great heights. Let's just see. It'll be interesting to see. It might be the Ronaldo Messi debate all over again.
Oh God, I can't bear that. It's such an annoying debate. I just remember in tennis before. After Sampras and Agassi, people were thinking, who are these next two big superstars? And most of them had predicted Leighton Hewitt and Andy Roddick. That prediction worked really well.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but these two look like the real deals.
Yeah, so what's the other game you saw? Union Berlin versus Bayern?
Yeah, Union. Again, these... pronunciations, like I always said it was Joshua Kimmich, but it's actually Uzua Kimmich.
That is some Steve McManaman name. He just called him Joshua. He's fine.
Uzua.
But Alphonso, oh my God, the pace on that guy. He's crazy.
Oh, Alphonso Davies. Oh, brilliant. Again, came out of nowhere. I think he's good to see these young kids.
Okay, so what have you learned in this weekend of Bundesliga that you are just happy football is back?
Sorry?
What have you learned in this weekend of Bundesliga that you are happy football is back and you don't care about anything else?
Correct. Absolutely. No, I think maybe the title race is obviously much closer in this league than in the other countries. So obviously it's between Dortmund and Bayern, and I think Leipzig dropped a few points, but there's Mönchengladbach and all. There are a few teams which are there.
So the difference between Leipzig, which is on fourth, and Bayern, which is on top, is about 7 points. So Leipzig is on 51 and Bayern is on 58. Dortmund's on 54 and Gladbach is on 52.
Yeah.
So that's a good reason to watch Bundesliga. It's like if you start Premier League, who gives a fuck? Like in 2 weeks, some bloody red club will win the title.
And the Bundesliga is actually the league where the most goals are scored. So, you know, if you want entertainment, and if goals provide entertainment, for sure, you watch Bundesliga.
Not like Jamshedpur FC. They scored like 20. They scored 23 goals in 18 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it shocked me when I learned about it 2 weeks ago. I was like, what?
I think it's Bayern's. Lewandowski scored some 40 goals this season already. I think Dortmund have never scored so many goals ever in a season. It's entertaining. Definitely.
Yeah, and I hope for the sake of competition going into the next season, I hope Sancho doesn't leave Dortmund. And he's there. I think Sancho, Hazard, Haaland, and the likes.
Yeah, just imagine. I mean, Dortmund beat Schalke 4-0 without Sancho starting, without Royce, without Götze, without a lot of their star players.
Dude, their depth is better. They're building something special there. They have to just keep hold of these people, and I think they will do well. But we know how things go. Okay, so I think let's take a break right now. And after the break, let's turn our attention to the Premier League and what they are doing and Troy Deeney's latest comments, which have been twisted completely by a lot of people. But he seems to be making a lot of sensible points. So, yeah, stay tuned to Football Total. Welcome back to Football Total. Jayant is still here with us. What's up, Jayant?
Hello.
Okay.
Football is back.
Okay, done. We are done with that. That excitement is over. After the first game, I just felt like it was a release the first 15 minutes. And then after that, I was like, what am I watching? Why? Like, what am I watching?
It was good football.
It was. But I was like, you know, that happiness that football is back lasted 15, 20 minutes. And after that, it was like, we are watching a game again. fucking VAR, shit, why is that not a yellow card? All that.
But that's football, no, like that whole experience is football experience.
I know. So, Premier League wants to start, but they have no idea how to start. They've spoken to the managers. Particular great manager has made his disappointment very clear. He told the Premier League guys, I think we spoke, I don't know if he spoke about it, but he basically, Mourinho told those guys, you can't start on June 12th if you don't give us some time to train. And he said, but if we are good enough to go for training, then you should just allow us to go and train. Otherwise, don't start on June 12th. Work backward from when you want to start and give us a 3 to 4 week period for training. And Ralf Hasenhüttl and all the others basically were like, yeah, that's how you need to work. And Jurgen Klopp was very coy in that because he needs only 2 wins, right? So he's like, oh yeah, I understand and sympathize and everything. And so I think now from tomorrow or day after, they're going to start training in groups still. And full team training is not allowed.
Tuesday they said.
Yeah, they started in small groups. I think on Wednesday they are starting, but whatever. So Troy Deeney made some interesting comments, which seem to be sensible. He said, I have a 5-month-old child. Why do I want to take the risk? On one hand, you're telling me that I can't go to a barber. And given Troy is bald, we should like give some leeway. But he says, on one hand, you tell me I can't go to a barber. But you're like saying it's okay to play football. So he's like, where's the sense in that? You tell me it is safe to play, I will play. And he asked these questions of the representatives and everyone. And they basically did not have much answers. So, which raises the interesting question, Jayant. If a barber cannot open, why should football be open?
No, I mean, obviously we're not qualified enough to, you know, give these sort of answers. And it's down to the health experts to sort of figure out what is safe, what is not safe.
To his point that if half the things, which I probably is a very, very basic regular thing to do, if they are not safe to go, why do you want me to go play football? He's like, I have a 5-month-old child at home. I don't want to, like, you know, why would I want to do anything to jeopardize something?
It's completely justified. I think even Tammy Abraham stays with his father or grandfather, something who has asthma. So even he's a bit concerned. They're all valid concerns. And, you know, again, yes, if it's not safe, it's not safe.
Yes.
Yeah, so we again can't say anything. But, I mean, just on this topic, I think, there were some quotes that I read by Ashley Giles, who's the ECB chairman, English Cricket Board chairman. And he said, you know, we're creating an environment for the England camp, for the England cricketers, so that when they come back, it'll actually be safer than even going out to buy groceries.
So, you know, why is that? Like, did he give a reason for it?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of protocols that they're going to ensure, that they're going to be in vacuums. They're not going to be, again, they're going to be a lot of bans on them and guidelines which all the players have to follow, just so that, you know, they are less risky. There'll be less chance of them getting the infection as well. So, you know, maybe there'll be a large group of 50 people, which includes the cricketers and their families, and they will only be allowed to meet each other.
Oh, yeah. And you know, what's the risk? Because all these players in the Bundesliga, I think the Augsburg coach, he couldn't be with this team for the weekend. And you know why?
There's a family bereavement.
He left hotel quarantine.
Oh, that's the toothpaste story, right?
Toothpaste and toothbrush, right? So, they said, ki nahi, tu jao abhi quarantine mein. So, imagine, it is that strict that you can't even go out to buy a toothpaste or toothbrush and you go to a quarantine. Germany probably has better facilities and things, but these English chaps, they need to take care. They've been proven wrong so often in the last 7 to 8 weeks that it will be just foolish to rush into something because you think that's the only way.
Also, I mean, it's sad to talk about it like this, but there is a huge financial obligation that they have.
No, I understand, but no one is saying don't end the season, but don't put a start date of June 12th. Right? You have to work bottom up. You basically say start in groups training, then main training and work up to it and then you arrive at a date. If you say
what they've done. They said, I don't know the exact timelines, but they first said isolated training, then small group training, then larger group training and then full contact training. So it's the same procedure, it's the same guidelines which have been given to all the leagues, whether it's the La Liga or the, you know, or the Italian Serie A or whatever. And, you know, with these cases coming up, the Spanish the La Liga president actually made a very interesting point. He said, you know, obviously we're testing 5,000 people. You know, there will be some people who come up as positive. Like we knew that would happen. That will happen anywhere. If you test like thousands of people, some of them will test positive. But he said, it's okay, we'll live with it. And that those players will go into quarantine. We'll live with it.
Yeah, he did. And they're talking about changing times in La Liga as well, because now everyone's going to watch in TV. So they don't want players to play in hot sun and everything. So, yeah, a lot of things. I hope football comes back, though, in England, whatever shape and form. But it will very soon. And the only silver lining, which I've been screaming for weeks, is that Liverpool will not get a bus parade.
I mean, it'll happen later. If it doesn't happen now, they'll do it.
Yeah, if it happens mid-season next year, that's over. Like, that joy is gone. So, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of...
That's the only thing which has given me spirit and hope and happiness, that a club for 30 years was trying to win the league championship, and the year they win it, no one really gives a about it.
I mean, it's good I'm not a Liverpool fan otherwise. Or you aren't talking to a Liverpool fan. But I guess, I mean, they'll be happy just to win it. I think, I mean, there's so much confusion, they'll just be happy to just complete the season, I think, now.
Yeah. That's why Jurgen Klopp in that meeting was quite coy. He's like, he knows he needs only 2 games to wrap this whole thing up.
Yeah.
He just needs people to be fit for 2 weeks and no adverse impact, and he's through.
Now, there are a lot of, it's not just Troy Deeney and Tammy Abraham. But I think Raheem Sterling made a point that he's saying, like, you know, we'll need many more weeks than 4 to 5 weeks. We'll need like 6 weeks maybe to get back to training. And if you say 6 weeks from now, it's like, it's almost the end of June, right? And then I think there are guidelines that you have to finish by the end of July or something like that. So, you know, there are a lot of unanswered questions. The league is obviously trying to figure out what to do best. But again, you have to be guided by the health data right now.
Yeah. I mean, they have contracts expiring on June 30th. And also, have you been following up transfer news? Who talks even transfers in these times? Like, Manchester United is associated with everyone.
But isn't that always the case? Aren't they always?
I know, but this is like crazy. United and Barcelona, like, if you see the names, Barcelona, they have no money. They needed Messi to convince every player to take an 80% pay cut to even keep the club alive. But now they're talking about, we will get, who's it, Lautaro Martinez. Like, where do you have the money for that?
I think this is when the financial power of the big economic football clubs will come out, like the Manchester United and the Real Madrid of the world, which have got a big brand, which continues selling their merchandise.
The only team which has money is Manchester United.
Yeah.
Not Real Madrid or Barcelona. If Barcelona had money, they wouldn't have asked the players to take an 80% wage cut. Imagine 80%, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, possibly, but I mean, United won't be affected by this.
They're not affected by anything. They're not even affected by anyone winning the championship also these days. They're all at fifth or sixth. But what you're hearing at the Arsenal camp, is Mikel Arteta happy with the current bunch?
I mean, Alexander Lacazette seems David to be having Lee. A balloon of a dime. I don't know if you read that article where he's basically injecting like nitrous oxide from balloons. I don't know what these guys are doing. I mean, I don't know.
That is way better than what Callum Hudson-Odoi allegedly did. That bastard had COVID as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know COVID makes someone horny. This is a research angle which I think people need to...
I mean, we are all expecting a baby boom to come in 9 months. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. How many footballers? Let's see that. By next April season, imagine, like, so let's say United are challenging for the title next season. They're second, only 1 point behind or something. And come April, May, 9 of the players are becoming fathers in a 3 week period. And then they lose their title, but they'll have like 9 new children.
No, but that's what they said. No, I think for Salah and Henderson, like exactly 9 months after the Champions League final, they both had a child. The child was born.
Oh, God. You think they spoke about it? What did Klopp show them? This two.
Well, they won 2-0, I think.
Yeah, 2-0. It was such a boring final. It was. Yeah. What else, man, Jayant? It was good talking to you.
Yeah, I think
this weekend is Dortmund Bayern or Bayern Dortmund. Like, I don't know what's the whose home game it is, but one of the two.
But home advantage doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it counts for anything, home advantage. There's nobody in the stadium, nobody to abuse you or egg you on.
I mean, what the Premier League clubs are saying is that it's still familiarity with the ground and everything. That's why they want home. That's why they are the relegation threatened clubs, at least, are not in favor of neutral venues.
Really? But how have they achieved anything in their own venues and relegation clubs? Like Norwich, what standing does it have to say?
Forget Norwich, but like Villa have got like almost 80% or 70% of their points at home.
That's fine. I'm not disputing that. I was just trying to make a point. If you had that big a home advantage, you probably would not be in the relegation battle.
No, I mean, even the few points, for some of them, the argument makes sense because the few points that they have got, they've got at home.
The last point, by the way, have the Saudis bought over Newcastle or not yet?
I don't think so. I mean, all these deals generally take a long time to actually happen.
I've already read on human rights abuses and how this should not go through. I feel so left out now if it doesn't happen. Like, I wasted so much time reading crap I already knew.
But I've just spent like so many years reading about how Newcastle wanted a different owner and they're so just sick of Mike Ashley. And then if this happens, like, I don't know, they'll be happy or sad.
I know. Imagine if Hitler was alive and he had money.
I don't want to imagine that.
No. Just say he was alive and he had money. And you think if he bid for Newcastle, you think they would have been okay with it? we just want to get rid of Mike Ashley.
Correct. Exactly. Absolutely.
Oh, man. What did this come down to? Chalo, man. Take care, dude. Nice talking to you.
Yep, take care.
And the next 14 more days. You seem well groomed enough. You don't need a barber, nothing. What's going on?
Well, I just bought this thingy today. It's called a trimmer. But other than that, I've been trimming my own beard. I've been getting my mother to cut my hair.
Wow. Talk about people who really don't have to do any work. They're looking after the grooming needs.
I've been doing a lot of deep cleaning of the house also. Nothing of that sort is not.
You don't have a choice. Don't act like you wanted to do it. You were beaten into doing it. One of the things, oh God. If I was at my home, my mom, she would have just killed me. I would have to clean so many things. So yeah, in a way, I'm all right and happy wherever I am. All right, man. Take care. Okay.
Take care.
All right, guys. That was this week's Football Twaddle. The main news is just be happy there's football. Here's something to watch on the weekend. There's only so much Kapil Sharma reruns you can watch. Okay, bye-bye.